Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. All right. Doug always puts it up there. Freedom Friday. Yay! You know, we finally made it through another week. Some of us have been running around this last week going crazy. But, you know, God is so good. God always makes a way for us, you know, and we are so grateful that we can come together like this first thing in the morning and give Him the praise and give Him the glory, because He is awesome. He is awesome. Again, we are in Colossians 3 this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for this hour. Speak to our hearts. Let it be You and not me. Father God, I thank You for all those who are watching and listening. Father God, I pray that You will just meet them where they're at. Thank You, Father God, again for this morning. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, get that stretch out there, you know. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin. If then you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is adultery, because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Cyrenian, slaves nor free, but Christ is all and in all. 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all these in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. 18. Okay, he gets rough here. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance for your service, for the service of Christ Jesus. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Amen. Amen. All right, stretch if you need to. Okay, it's a lot in this particular chapter. You know, this letter, you know, was written by Paul, you know, to the Colossians, and it was to bring correction to a lot of false teachings that were coming up in the church. Paul wanted them to know that Jesus Christ, you know, is the Lord of the universe, head of the church, and the only one through whom forgiveness is possible. So he was bringing this letter with correction, and he starts off in verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. In other words, if we identify with Christ, if we are called his followers, then we need to seek him who is from above. We need to seek his will in our lives. In Romans 8:34, it reads, who is he who is condemned? It is a Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You know, it's a beautiful thing how, you know, it's telling us to seek the things from above, and it's pointing to the Lord who is at the right hand of the Father that makes intercession for you and me. That's amazing. Verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. You know, this world is going to offer us a lot of different things, you know, and a lot of the things that it offers us is it will make us go in the wrong direction, wrong teachings, you know, made by men to please man, but not to please God. And this is where the church of Colossians, you know, was at the moment. And Paul, again, he's just calling their attention, reminding them. Who doesn't need a reminder every once in a while? Who doesn't need somebody to go like that in your ear every once in a while to get your attention? I know I do, you know. But so that's what Paul is doing here. He says in verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. You know, Paul is telling us here, since we have come to the Lord, you know, we have surrendered ourselves to him. We're no longer supposed to be living as the old man used to live, the old way of being, the old way of thinking, the old way of acting. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. In Romans 6:2, it says, certainly not. How shall we also die to sin, live any longer in it? If you know, in other words, Romans is saying that we die to sin. You know, when we receive Christ, you know, we turn from our old ways, you know, and we're not supposed to be pursuing that. We're not supposed to be going in that direction. Again, Paul is just bringing correction to the church here. In verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, that's awesome, because it's talking about when Christ appears, when Christ comes, you know, that we're going to be with him in glory. That's just a glimpse of what awaits every single one of us, that this glory. So it's awesome as we, as believers, you know, we're looking for the future, when this is going to happen, when this is going to take place. And again, you know, this glory that the Lord has, he's constantly letting us, reminding us that we are his sons, you know, and we are his daughters, and he loves us. And that's why the word is constantly a reminder. And in 1 John 3:2, he says, beloved, now we are children of God. It is not yet has been revealed, you know, what we shall be, For we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. And although, again, confirming the scripture, you know, you cannot take one verse and make it a doctrine. You know, you have to take all the whole word of God. And that's why I like to bring other verses to supplement, to build up what we're trying to say here. So, you know, we one day soon, you know, we're going to be revealed. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your members which are in the earth. And it goes into fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is adultery. You know, put to death the always, put to death the old language. In Romans 6, 12 to 14, it says, therefore, do not let your sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, that and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. As we, for it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. This sin, you know, that constantly comes up, that corrupts us, you know, we have to put it down. We have to deny it. We have to send it back to the pit of hell where it came from, you know, and seek the things above. You know, we need to renew our thinking, renew our mind, and don't stay in the past, you know, what we used to be, who they said we were, because we are not that person any longer. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he's telling us that we need to change. That's what the church in Colossians was at, that they were still, some of them were still living the old way. Some of them have not really changed all the ways of thinking. And he's bringing their attention. And he says in verse 6, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God, because of these things, because of disobedience, because of not following the word of God, these things are coming upon the sons of disobedience. You know, so the wrath of God is going to come. And the wrath of God, I believe the wrath of God is already here. With all the stuff that's going on, all the things that are happening around us, I know that the Lord, you know, is here. You know, he says, in which you yourself once walked. He's reminding them, he's reminding us, we were there one time. Hey, I was not Mr. Goody Chuties all the time. You know what I mean? I was not Pop Hernandez. I was not known for all that, you know. I have my day, okay? I have my day. I have my runnings, you know? I had my hair down to my shoulders. I thought that I was cool back in the day, you know, back in the 70s. That's how long ago, that's how old I am, you know? But just trying to fit in, trying to be there. And God is telling us, you can't do that. You can't, you got to change. You got to change your old ways. You got to bring this body into obedience of the Lord. And it says in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things. See, again, reminding us, you know, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language that comes out of your mouth. It says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, which you have put off the old man. You know, so if you have put off the old man, you cannot act like the old man. You cannot act like that old you. That old person who used to be, because we are not that person anymore. The enemy constantly wants to remind us of the past, constantly want to remind us of things that happened to us to bring confusion and to change our direction. But we need to trust in God. We need to hold on to him. Ephesians 4:22, it says, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, that we put off the old man. We got to take this body. You know, I'm constantly looking at myself, and I'm constantly saying, okay, what do I need to change? What needs to take place here? What do I need to work on? Because, you know, we got to keep this body under control. This body is not supposed to be controlling us. We're supposed to be controlling it. In verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Look at that. He says to put on the new man. We are new in Christ Jesus. Even today, even this morning, we are new because his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So, you know, we put on the new man created in him. In verse 8, where there is neither Greek nor Jews, you know, circumcised or uncircumcised, for all are one in all, you know. So God, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if I'm Puerto Rican. He doesn't care about that. Come on now. He doesn't care if I'm American, Indian, Jew, whatever. That doesn't mean nothing to him. What he cares is about the heart. About the heart. That's what the Lord looks for. He looks at our heart, and he wants our heart to be right. That's why he's constantly reminding us to put on the new. To put on the new. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word of God also says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So we have to change the way of thinking. You know, the enemy wants you to feel defeated. The enemy wants to make you feel that you are worthless. But, you know, but he who created us, you know, he's not done with us yet, you know, and he created us with purpose and abilities, and he put that in us, and he's telling us to move forward, put on that new man, put on that image that I have created you. And in verse of Ephesians, again, Ephesians 4, 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, was created according to God, you know, in true righteousness and holiness. A lot of times we don't want to apply those words to ourselves because we constantly hear the negative, that we are not worthy, you know, of that, to be called righteous, to be called holy. And scripture here is constantly reminding us that we are supposed to be righteous, that we are the righteousness of God, that we are supposed to be holy because he is holy, and he's telling us to be holy. You know, so it's okay to say, I am righteous before God, you know. And a lot of times, you know, we have a hard time, you know, our mind wants to tell you otherwise, but put those thoughts to the side, because you are no longer that person. You are a new person. You are a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's move along, because I know I talk too fast, talk too much sometimes. Verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Oh, look at that. Oh, man. Look at that. Therefore, as the elect of God, you have been chosen. You are created with a purpose. And as the elect of God, and he calls you holy, and he calls you beloved, put on tender mercies. Come on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing one another, supporting one another, helping one another, lifting up one another. Because today I may be up, tomorrow I may be down, I may be going through a crisis. So tomorrow I need you to bear me up, you know? So, and it goes back and forth. That's how we do it. Bearing one another and forgiving. Ooh, that word, forgiving. Let go of that word, forgiving of one, you know, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. We must forgive and let go. Hey, we all mess up. None of us are perfect. And as long as we live on this earth, we're going to make some mistakes. You know, we might rub people the wrong way, or they might rub us the wrong way. But guess what? Life is too short for me. I have no time to be thinking about all that other stuff. My thing is to live my moment right now. What is pleasing to God? What is God telling me in this situation that I am right now? What is he telling me to do? What is he telling me to say? What is he telling me to move forward? What? You know, because I want to please him. You know, my goal is to please God. You know, I'm sorry, I don't have to please none of you, but I got to please the Lord. And if I please the Lord, guess what? It just filters down for me to be able to please and help others, because I'm doing it, everything to him. So I have to honor him. I don't have time full nonsense. I don't have time for a lot of, a lot of craziness. I refuse to listen. I refuse to, I put attention, because my attention should be to the Lord, that I can worship him, that I can praise him, that I can glorify him. It is not people putting God down. There's enough people going around doing that. I want to lift him up, because as I lift him up, he gives me the courage. He gives me the strength. He gives me the peace. He gives me the joy that I could be that servant, that I could be his hands extended. I could be his mouthpiece extended. I could be the one that's going to grab you and hug you. Come on now. You know, I love hugging and I love kissing and I love all that kind of stuff, because that's who, just who I am. You know, so he allows me to do all that because of his grace, because of his mercy, because I can honestly just hug you and love you and feel the presence of God. Come on. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know that God is real. God is real, and we have to honor him. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I need to be able to express that. I need to be able to share that. And that's what God, that's what Paul is saying here, that we have to live by the new man in Christ, the new man who has been filled, the new man who has been cleansed, that new man that the Lord has touched. In verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." And be thankful. We have to be thankful. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the morning. Thank you that I was able to get up this morning. Thank you that I made my own bustelo and I had my cup of coffee this morning. Thank you that I was able to come and turn the computer on and sit in this chair and share my thoughts that the Lord has given me with you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have to be grateful, because when we are grateful to God, when we are thankful to God, we forget everything else. We forget all the storms, all the turmoils that are around us, because we take that moment and we worship God and we praise God and we give him the praise and we give him the glory. Glory. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Singing with grace. When we start praising God, when we start worshiping God, and you guys know that I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to go crazy. I love to go crazy. I love when we have a worship night, because I can let my hair down, so to speak, and I can just go there and just go bananas, and worship God, because God is worthy of praise. But we can worship and praise God no matter where we are, even right here, right now. As I'm speaking to you, I'm worshiping and I'm praising God. I'm thanking him. And guess what? He's filling me up. He's filling me up as I do that. In 1 Corinthians 14, 23, it says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification." Let all things be done for edification. We're here to lift up one another. We're here to pray with one another. We're here to encourage one another. I'm not here to beat you down. The world does that by itself. They don't need my help to beat you down. I'm here to build you up, to share the word of God, to share the compassion of God, the mercy of God, and that he has for each and every single one of us. It says in verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Do all in the name of the Lord. So whatever we do it unto the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever ministry God has you in, if you are like my sister Nicole, she's always serving. She's always, when I was going to EHT back in the day, I used to have Butella, but she used to hook me up. You know what I mean? I had a special cup. I said, I want that cup. I want that coffee back there. So she always did that. And I remember all that. I remember that. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that somebody goes out of their way to try to please somebody else. It feels so good. And I love to do that for people. I love to be able to share. I love to be able to encourage. And that's what God has given me. But everything that we do, we have to do it unto the Lord. You know, whether it's work, okay, you know how work can be. Work can be havoc. Work can be very discouraging. Work can be, you know, a windmill of a storm. But, you know, you are the light of the world. You know, you were created. You got the spirit of the Holy Ghost in you. And when you go in there, you don't go by yourself. And you go in there and you make a difference. That's why sometimes the storms are hard. That's why sometimes there's difficulties. Why? Because you're standing up for the Lord. And your presence alone makes the difference. Your presence alone walking into a place makes the difference. I mean, Peter, the shadow of Peter used to touch people and they were healed. You know, he didn't have to touch them. He didn't have to even pray for them. All he did was just his shadow going by. That's the anointing of God. And that same anointing has not changed. Come on, the world and even the churches sometimes, you know, they want to put that down. They don't want to talk about the anointing, the presence of God. But we need to talk about it because the presence of God, you know, the grace of God, that breaks the yoke, that breaks all the bondage, his presence. And his presence we have because he dwells in us. He's inside of you. Guess what? He is dying to come out. He is dying to come out. Some of us, you know, we have it, but we don't want to share it. We don't want to, you know, I don't know if I can do that. And yet the Lord has been knocking on your heart and telling you, open up your mouth and I'm going to fill it. Open up your mouth and you shall see my words come out of it. My grace come out of it. My healing come out of it. If you just take that step of faith, you know, and move forward. And that's what, and pretty much all what I'm saying here is the same thing Paul was telling the church of Colossians. You know, he was building them up. He was encouraging them. He was saying, put off the old man and that new man that is in Christ Jesus, raise that new man up. That new man wants to praise. That new man wants to worship. That new man wants to encourage. And that's what Paul is doing. And even here, you know, now he's talking to in verse 18 and 19 and 20, you know, he's talking to the family. He's talking to the husband. He's talking to the wife. He just wants them to know, you know, because, you know, it has so much information. It says, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. You know, so pretty much, and that's also covered in Ephesians 5, 22 and 25. Again, it says, wives, submit to you to your own husband as unto the Lord. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church that he gave himself for. You know, it's telling us all this too. You know what? And sometimes we don't understand, you know, but as far as the union of a husband and wife, it is my job to love my wife. It is my job to meet her needs. It is my job to do what the word of God says here, to die for her as Christ loved the church. I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I know sometimes the guys don't want to hear it. I don't care. I'm going to tell you anyway. You know, we're supposed to die for our wives, you know, and that's coming from Pop Hernandez, you know, and I stand by that word. Why? Because as I love my wife, as I minister to my wife, I don't have to ask her to be submissive. I don't have to tell her anything. My actions speak it all. My actions of how I take care, how I minister to her, how I am there for her, you know, and then that alone makes her want to submit. Because submit could be a negative word for a lot of people. And I get it, you know. As we're growing up, sometimes we have to submit to certain authorities, certain things in life, and we may not like it. I was in the military for almost 40 years. Believe me, there were times I was given orders that I wanted to punch somebody for, you know, because I just didn't want to do it, you know. But guess what? I don't have a choice. You know, I have to be obedient. I have to do it. So that word is a negative word. But yet again, I don't take it as a negative word because God gives us the grace. He gives us the peace. He gives us, you know, the desire just to do that. I submit to the authority of the church. I submit to my pastors, you know, because they are my pastors. So therefore, I submit under them because I chose. I chose. So I come under them because why? Because they're praying for me. Come on now. They're praying for me all the time, you know, that they're by themselves when they're having their prayer time. They're lifting up the church. They're lifting up the church. And that's what they do. So, You know, so these words that sometimes are not exactly, you know, fun words of submission, but, you know, we do it unto the Lord. We do it unto the Lord. And as we do it unto the Lord, guess what? That honors him. And God gives us grace to go forward, and God gives us peace. And even sometimes when we say to ourselves, I don't want to submit to that person. I don't want to. But you know what? Do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it as unto the person. Do it as unto the Lord and say, Lord, help me in this situation that I have to do this. Help me that I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to give me the strength, that you're going to give me the peace, that you're going to give me the joy, that you're going to give me the comfort that I need to move forward in this, knowing that my mind wants to tell me something else. My old man wants to raise up and say, but then my new man in the Lord, my new man wants to just praise God, do all things unto the Lord. That's why the word of God is there. That's why it says that, do it all unto the Lord. You know, whatever it is, whatever is in word or is in deed, do it unto the Lord. And that also goes, you know, in the workplace, you know, do it unto the Lord. You may not want to do it, but you do it unto the Lord. And don't be complaining too much, because complaining can turn to anger. Complaining can turn to resentment. Been there, done that, okay? And I had to correct myself. I had to go, shut down, my boy. You know, don't be saying, don't let life and death's in the power of the tongue. Been there, I have said it, okay? And I also have opened up my mouth when I shouldn't have opened my mouth, and I gotta go, come on now, Hernandez, you know better than that. I gotta talk to myself. I say, you know better than that, come on. Get with the program here. You know, we gotta be real. We gotta be real. We all gonna miss it here and there. But you know, that's why we have the Lord, that we can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord forgives us, and the Lord hugs us. You know how you guys like to get hugged? The Lord hugs us, he embraces us, and he tells us it's gonna be okay. It's going to be okay. You know, I made a way for you already. He made a way for us. You know, so it goes into the children also, the being obedient, you know, and to honor your father and your mother. And that's so true, because the children, they need to be obedient to us. But guess what? We're not going to change them overnight. And a lot of times we just have to leave them in God's hands, because only God can turn the hearts. Only God can change the hearts. Only God can heal the heart. Only God is going to make the difference. You know, and a lot of times we as leaders and we as parents, sometimes we don't see it. We don't, you know, we see our kids and we want to go like this. And they're adults, you know, you go like this again to them and they keep pulling back this, but then you go again like this. Well, guess what? That gets old, because that brings discouragement sometimes. And we just need to love. If we can just love and allow God to be God, he can work it out faster and better than you and I can ever do. He can make a difference. So, you know, this whole chapter is for the church, but it's also for the family. It's also for the home, you know, and just ask, you know, read through it, because, you know, it goes into the bond servants. It goes into all these aspects. But the most important thing, you know, is whatever you do in verse 23, do it wholly as to the Lord and not unto man. Do it to the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't want to do something, we say, Lord, I'm going to do it, but I do it unto you, Lord. And guess what? God gives you the grace. God gives you the peace, and God gives you the joy. I know my time is up, but I know that in the military, there were times that I was very discouraged. There were times that I just want to scream. There were times that I didn't know what to do. There were times that I used to go to the, and I shared this before, go to the boiler room at the job, and just scream, because the boiler was loud and nobody can hear me, you know. And I did that, and I went and literally go to the bathroom, wash my face, because I was crying while I was in there, spending that time with the Lord and just being, you know, out of sorts. Again, you know, I'm not always been a happy, happy guy. Okay. You know, there comes times that we all gonna lose it, that we all gonna, and it's okay. It's okay. It's all how you're going to do it, how you're going to express yourself. So I used to go to the boiler room and scream, and when I washed my face, and guess what? And I went back to work and I gave them 100%. I did it unto the Lord. I did it unto the Lord. And guess what? The Lord gave me grace, and the Lord gave me peace, and the Lord elevated me in places that I didn't think I was going to be elevated in. But guess what? I got promoted. Guess what? I was leading the whole department. Guess what? I was the lead guy when we deployed to Afghanistan, when we deployed to the desert, you know, to Korea and all that. When I was the lead guy. Why? Because only God promotes. Only God promotes, and God will make a way for you. So my brothers and sisters, if you got anything out of all this, know that the Lord loves you, that the Lord has you, that the Lord has his word there just to remind us. And we all need a reminder. Come on. We all mess up at times, and we all need a reminder. I need a reminder. I need that little pulling of the ear that grandma used to do to me all the time, you know, and pull that ear to get my attention. Well, that's okay. That's okay. You can pull my ear too, you know, because guess what? I want to hear what you got to say, you know? So it's okay. It's okay because God is just calling us to him and he's giving us instructions how to live, how to be victorious, how to have peace and how to have joy in our lives. And pretty much this chapter, this whole book, it's only four chapters, this particular book of Colossians, you know, only four little chapters. But again, it was a letter of love, you know, and it was for us too today, a reminder of who he is and who we are in him. So my brothers and sisters, keep your focus, keep your focus. The best is yet to come. Great things are happening. You know, if there's chaos, that means miracles are about to take place. Deliverance are about to take place. Because when the storm gets more intense, that's what I know, that the Lord is closer to us than ever before. That's when I know that something is about to happen. Because he always waits to the midnight hour. A lot of time, he waits to the midnight hour when we are at our wit's end. And then he says, okay, now I'm going to move on your behalf. Now I'm going to show. Because why? Because he likes to show off. We have a God that likes to show off. He likes to show up and say, here it is. Here is your blessing. Now rejoice in me, because he loves you, because he cares for you, because he wants to bless you, because he wants to deliver you, because he wants to bring your family together. So my brothers and sisters, whatever it is that you're going through, surrender it to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. And take this man, this fleshly man that wants to rise up every once in a while, smack it. I do it myself. Of course, you guys don't see me when I'm beating up myself, you know, but I do that in private, okay? But, you know, sometimes I gotta do this. I gotta smack myself and say, okay, Hernandez, settle down. It's not all that. Get it together. Refocus, my key word, refocus, you know, and guess what? And the Lord makes a way. So the Lord is going to make a way for each and every single one of you. I pray that you will have a blessed week. I pray that the Lord will continue to speak to you, the Lord will continue to wake you up in the midnight hour. That's right, wake you up, because guess what? When the Holy Spirit wakes you up, it's because he wants to have some time with you. And it might be just for a half hour. It might be just for 15 minutes. Or you take that 15 minutes, you take the half hour, and you get up, you know, and you just spend that time with him, because he's going to start doing that. I just feel this from the Lord that he's going to start waking some of you guys up because he wants to spend some time with you, because there's certain things that he wants to share with you, you know, and he wants to get you when you're all by yourself, when there's no hindrance, nothing in front of you that's going to take the time, but you and him, and he's going to have that time with you. And guess what? And if you go out going through that, and if God is waking you up, please let me know. Please let me know. Okay. Please let me know. Okay. If that said, I pray you have a blessed week. I pray that this weekend comes that you will just, you know, just draw near to him. The word of God said, you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So in other words, the Lord is like this. And all we have to do is walk right in, walk right into his presence. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that your blessings be upon them. I pray that you would just fill them, that you would just encourage them. Father God, I pray that you would just meet their needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you that you are already there. You are already there, Father God. You're already making a way. So I pray your blessings. I pray your strength upon them, Father God. Meet their needs. Bless them and keep them, Father, until we come together again. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. All right. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. I love you guys, and we'll talk soon.